Well, welcome to Let Your Kingdom Come, and this is Kenny Hebert here, and I got a few friends here that are members of a team from Royal Family Kids Camp of Western Mass, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Will Puckett. I'm the nurse at Royal Family Kids Camp. I have been doing Royal Family Kids for 19 years. I started in 2004, and I started off as a counselor for 12 years. Was a staff assistant. I was a fisher of men. I now currently serve as a nurse at the camp.
And I'm David Berchi. I've been doing Royal Family for 15 years, 12 years as a counselor. And now I am operating as dean of men, kind of overseeing the men and throughout the week activities with the boys and the guys at camp.
And at this time, before we really get into some more of the content of what the camp's all about, why don't you give some contact information in case someone wants to get a hold of you after they listen to the podcast.
You can reach us at our email. It's westernmassrfkc@gmail.com, all one word. And we also have a Facebook group, Royal Family Kids of Western Mass. You can follow us there and see a lot of the stuff that we do and also interact with us via Messenger on that application.
Yeah, that's and also just so as your listeners are, just want you to know that it'll be noted in the underneath the recording on the podcast that you could actually get the information in regards to contact information too. Well, now with that being said, let's talk about what is Royal Family Kids Camp. Some people are listening to this thing like Royal Family Kids Camp. What is that all about?
So Royal Family Kids Camp, or as we kind of shorten it sometimes to RFKC, is a national organization that is born with the vision to impact kids from foster care and children from abuse and neglect. So as we'd like to say, we take kids from hard places that have been through some trauma in their life, and they don't always have the same context as a normal family structure. And we let them have an opportunity to explore creation and see God's care for them through people that minister at our camp.
So what does that look like day to day when you guys come to the camp, right from the very beginning to the end? Some things you think are high points that you'd want to share.
Just give a little background context. At our local camp, we minister to 32 kids, 16 boys, 16 girls, and we have about 45 to sometimes 60 adults that will come to minister to the kids. And the day starts out with rolling into breakfast and get the kids active, and it's a busy day, but the whole entire goal of the day is to allow them to experience God through the activities, through the drama, through the different recreational things we have, including breakfast club, music that we're playing, the songs that they learn, and then also life lessons through nature itself.
Hmm. Sometimes we have opportunities to teach them cause and effect when something breaks and they think it's the end of the world, and you get to lead them into, well, that was a mistake, but we'll find something else. And, you know, teaching them life, as Will said, life lessons, just that things are okay, that they will work out. And if this doesn't happen now, we'll get a chance to do something else later. Sometimes that can seem like a big, you know, ultimate milestone for some kids. Like, wow, we really can? I thought that was the end of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be good for them, just realizing that everything's redeemable, especially themselves. That's, you know, it's everything's not lost, which is really a good lesson learned. You got something to look like you got something to share.
Well, I have a great story about redemption and salvation. This was some years back. Kids were walking along the lake, and the campground is a beautiful campground. It has a lake, a pool, a stream running through it. So it's a beautiful place for the kids to see. But one of the kids saw a snake with a frog in its mouth, and it had every intention of eating that frog. And the kids, they loved the frogs at camp. They catch the frogs. They're always playing the frogs. And they were so concerned. I don't want the frog to die. So they got a stick, and, you know, I mean, nature is, snakes need to be able to eat, but they wanted to save that frog, and they were able to whack the snake a couple times, and it spit it out of his mouth, and the frog hopped away and survived. And it was a form of, like, they were able to save the life of the frog, yeah, by redeeming it, you know,
yeah, yeah,
by their actions.
Yeah.
And we utilize lessons like that to be able to show them the sacrifice that Christ did for us to save us.
Yeah.
So we work on, one of our things is we talk about teachable moments.
Yeah.
And it was one of the, it was a wonderful teachable moment. That could, you know, bring it back to the core of our intentions to share the love, right, of God with them.
Yeah. So then, so really, you're getting back to this, like, what is like the core purpose of bringing those kids there? You're really not just to have the activity and the creation and stuff. Really, it's about finding Christ, actually sowing seeds of the life of Christ into them, right?
Yeah.
And so is you, do you have a testimony to David?
We have a unique aspect where we work with kids that are from the state organization, you know, part of the state, the wards of the state. And so most of the time we have somewhat of a guidance, like we can't just preach the, right, gospel. We can't just invite kids to commit their lives to Christ. We don't do an altar call type of thing. But what we do have the opportunity to do is through teachable moments all through the week. Plus, we have curriculum, and we have some life lessons that come about through the cabin of moments or shower time or whatever it be at the morning, noon, or, yeah, night. There's a verse in Deuteronomy that says, you know, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you will tell them what God has done. And we take that as an example for us throughout the day as we walk through Royal Family. When we're walking up or down the hill, you know, another verse, and you know, it says, when you walk through the door, when you lie down, when you get up,
yeah,
teach these things. And so it's through walk along, talk along as we go through the day, that we get the opportunity to show them there's light, there's promise, there's hope beyond their tough circumstances that they've known in life.
I know this might be kind of maybe going back to the very beginning of where we started on the podcast, but I'm just like wondering, like, what was the start of this? Where did it all originate, the idea of doing this camp?
Oh, Royal Family Kids Camp is actually under an umbrella organization that's national and now international. But back in 1985, Wayne Tash out in California was just praying and had a heart from the Lord. How can I impact kids from foster care and the social service system? How can I reach them? And God showed him a vision of basically an overnight camp, taking kids from abuse and trauma that don't know a healthy living, and bringing them out into the Cathedral of the Great Outdoors, into God's creation, giving them a week of an overnight camp, 5 days of structure, that they have consistency, that it's a safe environment, they can trust the people that are watching over them, and to start to build relationships of trust, so that promotes the opportunity for impacting lives for change. And there's a concept that we've thrown around for years: can 1 week make a difference? Yes, it can.
Yeah.
And there's hundreds and thousands now of stories of kids that have come back years later that says how much that week, not just at our camp here in Western Mass, but there's over 300 camps around the country every year, every summer, over 300 camps that operate by different churches around the country. There's some that have been started. People we know started a camp in Uganda. There's camps in Ethiopia. There's some in Europe now. But it's, can 1 week make a difference? Yes, it can.
One of the cool things about it being 1 week, it's actually, we have a legacy system. So when a kid comes at, say, 6 years old, they get to come back every year if they like. They have the option for it. And it's a free camp, so it's entirely free to the kids, the foster care system. It's entirely fundraised, supported. So it's an opportunity for them to be able to go somewhere, and that doesn't cost anybody any money. But they get to come back each year and build those relationships.
Hey, William, you know, before we started recording, you talked about like this theme every year you have a certain theme. This theme has really got your heart here. Can you tell us a little bit about that theme for this year?
So this year's theme was Wonderfully Made. It's based on the verse from the Psalms, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And we based each day upon how the children, and we are all made for something. We're made to be friends. We are made to be loved. We are made to be wonderfully made by God. And He's our creator. And it gives a sense of identity to the kids, to those that have lost their identity in many different ways through abuse or even just neglect and abandonment or being ignored. Mm-hmm. They find that they are more than just a thing, a nobody. They are somebody that God created.
Yes. There's like got to be some value assigned to them. And then as you guys and girls are spending time with them, concentrating on them, giving all your attention, it's really reinforcing that whole thing. And so you are wonderfully made and you're worth paying attention to.
Yes. And that's one of the great things about Royal Family. I mean, it's named Royal Family Kids to include them. They are part of the King's family. They are the King's kids.
Yes.
And it's that they're not just floating about aimlessly, that He has His eye on them, that He cares about them, and he's there for them.
Yeah. Is there any specific, like we were talking earlier, like before we recorded, like specific things you guys did during the week? Is there anything like that, as we're talking about this, that we want to touch on, like specific things that really spoke to them? And I think that's just the kids. What about the workers and the volunteers?
There's a lot of moments that are impactful moments. You know, they're the moments you'll never forget.
Yeah.
And we have it worked through the whole schedule of each day. There's a lot of structured schedule. We roll right from breakfast to breakfast club, which is a high impact, high energy engagement activities, games, but material. And that's really the time when we get to present the curriculum. It's woven throughout that breakfast club hour. It's an hour of time in the chapel when the kids are kind of contained and they get to engage with their body, with their drama, with their excitement, and learn and speak the Bible verse. There's a Bible verse for each day.
Yeah.
And they're challenged that if they can memorize this verse, we have a reward system at camp. We have a camp store, and they get little camp currency that they get to use to buy something in the store.
Yeah.
So as they memorize this verse, and they'll come to different staff members throughout the week, and they'll say, "Can I tell you my memory verse?" And if they get excited because sometimes they stumble over it, but they'll help each other, or they'll be quiet, and you get to see that they're starting to respect each other and lift each other up because, if you stumble over a word, they may help each other to remember what it was to learn that memory verse. So between breakfast club, then the chapel in the evenings, we have the drama. We have a drama team that works on doing a whole drama that has a series from day 1, 2, 3, 4 right through, and it leads up to the final message, and the kids start to understand how that ties in with what they learn in the mornings. Mm-hmm. So...
I like what you shared. Like, you even see a difference in the kids, even how they're treating each other. Like you were just talking about earlier.
Yeah, especially with our reward system.
Yeah.
We get an opportunity to honor them. We have a thing called the I Spy Award, which is like an extra special honor that we introduce in front of everyone at a mealtime to recognize one boy and one girl each day that have exemplified caring, respectfulness, seeing needs, helpfulness at the table, in their room, helping others, helping clean up the cabin, whatever it is, that we get an opportunity to honor them. And they get recognized for good sportsmanship. But beyond good sportsmanship, good character.
Yeah, you know? Cool. You got anything to add to that, Boy?
Well, based on actually him mentioning the word character, at the end of the week, the counselors get to honor the kids specifically. They will pick out certain things about their character and highlight it and give them a reward in front of the whole camp. They get up on stage and they share about it. And the kids are shy sometimes and everything like that, but it's really just showing them that we see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see something about them more than just, you know, kid that might have been rambunctious, or one that was really shy, or one that liked to play Legos. We identify something more about them. That's who they are.
Yeah.
And it really just builds their confidence, and it builds their soul, and it's encouragement that can't be measured.
This brings up a question I'm thinking right now. It's like, you know, what was it that really drew both of you to start getting involved in this camp?
I'll let you go first because you started first.
A friend of mine went to camp and told me it was the funnest, coolest thing ever and stayed up all night and played video games. I'm like, I'm down for that. Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. When I got there, it was different. But what made me keep coming back was seeing the impact it had on the kids. Mm-hmm. Seeing how a week could make a difference. Because that was my question. How does a week make a difference in the life of a kid? I mean, there's 51 other weeks. You know, what's this going to do? Especially when they're in such sometimes dire situations that are terrible.
Yeah.
But God is, the seeds are planted. And then the most wonderful thing is having the kids come back each year and seeing them grow. And it's a wonderful thing to watch. And sometimes it starts out really difficult. I've had, when I was a counselor, I had some kids that they were painful. They were hurting. They were hurting children who hurt others because they were hurting, until they realized that you weren't there to hurt them. And so I had this one boy, I had him a total of 4 years. The first year was the most painful year ever. He called me every name in the book, everything. It was rough. And then at the end of the week, he still wanted me to be his counselor next year. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, okay. The next year was rough. But it was easier. And then the last 2 years with him, we were the best buds. He came to this distrust of me.
Right.
I kept coming back. Even when he pressed every button. And then he was like, okay, I don't need to press any more buttons.
Yep.
He was chill with me. And we had a wonderful 4 years together. Yeah. And I saw the impact.
Cool. Yeah. You did?
Yeah, so I started with Royal Family actually through friends at our church that were involved with Royal Family, and they asked me 3 or 4 different years in a row to be prayer partners for them, which is something that's really critical because it's an intensive week, and it can be a spiritual battle sometimes that we experience when we go to camp. So we need those prayer partners. We need those support back at home. We need those people to hold up our hands, like Aaron and Moses, to hold up our hands in prayer. And so I was a prayer partner for 3 or 4 years, not really knowing what I was fully praying for because I didn't understand the full experience at camp. But I got to go to the Welcome Back banquet to see all the staff at the end of the week and to see a little bit of the experience that they'd had for the week, and it started stirring my heart, and something deep inside, which I now know was God going, you need to do this. And I remember going to Pastor Peter, who was actually the one who started the Bethany's Royal Family years and years ago and was the main director. And when I finally came and interviewed for my first year at camp, I remember telling him, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't work with children. I don't know what I'm here for. And this is something that God does through the ministry of Royal Family. We minister to the staff almost as much as to the kids. And many times we as staff need to learn our own weaknesses or our own growth points. And he's like, Dave, we need you. You're going to be good. We need you. And God allowed him to see something in me that I couldn't see. And my first year, it was very stretching to me, way outside of my comfort zone. But when I finished, I said, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. And I'm coming back. So God started me as a prayer partner, and now I'm a committed as long as I can.
Cool. We mentioned a little bit there, Dave, you kind of touched on about the staff being ministered to. What does that look like? How does that happen? Like, you talked about being the men's, what do you say?
I'm dean of men, overseeing the men. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does that get involved? What's involved with that, with ministering to the staff while you're there? And
it's really a special dynamic that we have because we have people from all walks of life that come and volunteer. We have some professionals that work within the environment with kids that are actually in the social service system. We have teachers. But then we have accountants, and we have a music teacher, and we have nurses, and then we have me that works in audio video. Nothing to do with kids, but and we have other technology specialists and bankers and things like that. But the beauty is that it's from cross churches. It's not just one church. It was started and it's sponsored by our sponsoring church, Bethany Assembly in Agawam. But we have volunteers from at least 6 or 7 different churches now that are represented in our ranks every year. And so we get to bond together as a team. And many of us know each other from previous years, but most of us don't really necessarily know each other a lot outside of camp. But for this week, we become a core unit. And we have to lay aside our personal boundaries and our personal lives and just really buckle into this. We're here to give our all for the kids and for each other. And so throughout the week, we start on Sunday. We get commissioned at the service at Bethany before we leave for the camp. We go up, we do some training, some initial topics of what we're going to cover for the week. But then we have a prayer service, a communion time, where we just really just bathe the camp environment, the surroundings, the grounds, and each other in the presence of God and for His ministry and whatever He wants to do through the week. So our Sunday is kind of like our team unity building moments, and that's going to hold our hands up for each other and to trust each other through the rest of the moments of the week. And certainly we all get stretched from morning to night to sometimes the overnights when you got to get up with the bathroom trips with the kids. It just, you learn to trust each other. You learn to lean on your brother and to respect your sister and, you know, help each other out. And everywhere we go, we keep accountability, so there's always 2 people together with a child. So you'll just have moments to check in with each other. Hey, how's it going? You doing all right? You know, what are you seeing? Is what touched you today? You know?
Yeah. You going to add, Liam?
Well, we have a wonderful group of people that includes David, myself, and others that are our part of the leadership team that care for the counselors that they spend the most time with the kids, the counselors do. And it can be exhausting at times, can be emotionally exhausting, spiritually exhausting. And we're able to gird each other up with prayer, with encouragement. And that's one of the things that's great about our leadership team is we're always on the lookout. I see David and his wife, Maria, who are the deans. They're always looking at the staff and caring for the staff. When they're feeling that down, you know, they're over there to give them an encouraging word, give them a break for a little bit, but to share scripture with them. So it's a very, you know, encouraging atmosphere when it's a very tough task we're taking on. Not a bad task. It's a burden. That's a wonderful thing to do. But it's difficult at times. And having the people that care for each other, and that's one of the wonderful things about having a body of Christ together. We have a mission to care for the kids. We want to love on the kids, but we're loving on each other as well. Yeah. And it shows. So then it perpetuates itself to the kids. They see these adults, you know, from all walks of life, men, women, different colors, different nationalities, whatever, different jobs. I've had kids ask me, you know, how much do you get paid to do this? And one of the awesome things is, you know, we are all volunteer-based. No one gets paid to do this camp. So these people are there to love on the kids. And the leadership team is there to love on the counselors and the people on the front lines and to care for them. And it's a wonderful family dynamic
we
build there.
Why do I keep coming back? I think you asked earlier. Yeah. It's as much for the team unity and the camaraderie amongst each other, the body of Christ, as well said. It really is a missions trip.
Yeah.
And we've always said it's a missions trip to the local community.
Right.
To the ones that are next door, because most of our kids come from in the greater Springfield area in their placements. And so it's a missions to our community right here, right near where we live. But it's an intense commitment for the week as well. Yeah. So.
And it is a mission. It's just as valuable and as important as going overseas somewhere or here in our backyard. Yeah. Now you talk about, I hear different roles we've been talking about throwing out there, like counselor, nurse, dean of men, dean of women. You've mentioned like the grandfather, grandmother role. You want to talk about some of those, like really quickly, like what does a counselor do? What does a grandfather do? What does a nurse do? Just touch on those.
So the counselor is the one who's the most primary role, I think. They spend the most time with the kids. They're, one counselor is assigned two kids, and they have a staff assistant. A staff assistant is someone that really assists them, gives them breaks. They're not the primary person for the kids, but they can be at a moment if a counselor needs a break or whatever else. They also do multi-roles, staff assistants. So they'll be the breakfast club coordinator, or they'll be the drama person, or they'll be the sounds person.
Or they'll work with the crafts during the middle part of the day.
Yeah, so we have all these different roles. And a lot of them will fall into the role of staff assistant. But then we have unique roles where we try to create the family dynamic. We have a grandma and grandpa, and we have this wonderful married couple, Bill and Grace, and they are so fun and so good with the kids, and they fill the role of your quintessential grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
So they get that experience of kind of like a family dynamic. We've had aunt and uncle. We didn't have one this year, but we hope to fill like roles like that there, and it's just to give them a little bit of a unique dynamic to the kids, you know, they can see it, and they'll be running up and they'll be like, Grandma Grace, and they want to sit on the swing with her, and she swings back and forth. Yeah. That's all it is. But it's innocent things that children should experience,
right?
Yeah. In that safe, loving environment that they can trust that they'll be safe, that they won't be hurt, that they won't be, you know, abandoned.
Yeah, I want to come back to the counselor one. Like, some people may be hearing that, thinking, like, I might want to get involved in a counselor. Oh, I'm not a counselor. I'm not in school. So it's not like a professional counselor, right?
No,
so
it's a camp counselor.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so most Christian camps calls it a counselor position, but many Christian camps for kids or for teenagers will have 10 or 12 kids with one counselor who's the leader of that group of kids. Ours is much more hands-on, one-on-one almost. Because we have one counselor, which is just the primary caretaker, the primary friend, and kind of like the shepherd, the leader of their two kids.
Yeah, so they're like leading them through the camp for the whole week.
Yeah, keeping and them, they sleep them with them. Yep. You sleep right with your kids. The counselor is in the cabin with the kids. So there's four counselors, say the boys' cabin. There's four counselors that sleep in the bunks, and there's eight boys that sleep in the room with them. Gotcha. And then same thing, there's two cabins like that for the boys and two cabins like that for the girls.
Gotcha.
So it creates a sense of unity, a cohesion. Those group of counselors with their eight kids tend to start to stick together.
Yeah.
They'll communicate with each other when it's time to go to swim time. They'll come back and change for swim time together. They'll get ready and go to their craft activity together. You know, they'll come and often sit at the similar table in the dining hall together. So the counselors really stick with their kids throughout the campus activities. The staff assistant is assigned to them as a helper, and they'll come and go based on their other roles if they're helping out in the chapel right now or if they're going to sit with the kids while they eat lunch. Yeah. You know.
Now, we've talked, like, this is like the immediate week that's happening right there. That's the firsthand, the most, you know, moments with the kids there, but there's something that happens afterwards. You mentioned earlier before we started was talking about there's a team of people that are meet or stay connected to the kids, and what's that role and how's that impact the kids?
Well, we have meetings as our leadership team throughout the year, and we plan various of the events. We have an activity that we actually put on at Christmas time called the Christmas party, when we get the kids come back together, and we have a chance to just bless them. We have a chance to give them some simple gifts, but have a time to play with them and just reconnect mid-year, kind of halfway through the year from camp in August till Christmas party around Christmas time. So we have that chance to reconnect with many of them, and the benefit with that is some of our kids who have aged out, because we take, I don't know if we said this, the age range, we take kids from 6 to 12. And so that's how Will had mentioned earlier that sometimes they can come back year after year if they started when they were 6 or 7 and we still have contact with them or their families in the area. We'll try to have them be able to come back, but eventually they'll reach 12 and they'll age out of our age range. But once in a while at the Christmas party, they'll have siblings that are still coming to camp from their same family, and we'll get to see past campers that come at 13, 14. Yeah. They still remember. They still remember your name. They love the memories that they have. It was one of their best moments in their life.
Yeah.
And we also have a couple different folks through the years that have worked in the social service system as part of their professional career. And between either guidance counselors in the school or clinician helping with rehabilitation of families in need. And they get a chance once in a while through the school year to run into kids or to work once in a while, work on their specific case. But sometimes just crossing paths at the school. Once in a while, some of us will see them out in the community at the grocery store. Oh, don't I know you from camp? Yeah. You know, so we get to see that, the joy in their face light up, even at the moments when you least expect, when you cross paths with them out in the community.
Yeah. You mentioned one thing about memories. The impacts of the camp is the memories that the kids have. So year after year coming to camp really gets to build up. But we also try to instill memories, family style. So in most families, you have a photo album that you have memories of what you've done. You have songs and things that you did, activities that you did together. For our kids, because they're might be in transition from house to house, different foster cares, homes. Some of them have been in a matter of 10 foster homes in a matter of 5 years. And that's very difficult for a kid to be able to maintain a sense of memories. But they every year, our kids get a memory book. We send them home with, they get an activity book of the curriculum that we did, so that they get to use and they do that at camp. They get a Bible, and a lot our counselors are wonderful. They'll write a verse or they'll write a note to the kids, making the Bible very personal to them. And then they get a memory book with pictures from camp. And the pictures are specific to them. So one of the difficult things of our camp is because the kids are wards of the state, we can't have pictures of other kids with other kids. We have to keep personal information confidential.
Privacy,
yeah. Yes. So, but having, we scour through, we take hundreds of photos throughout the week, and we scour through those photos trying to find very good photos for the kids to have memories of something that they did, whether they were fishing, whether they were in the pool, if they were doing the laser tag or the tea party for the girls, if they were on a hike. Different memories that they can bring back to their mind and reestablish those things throughout their life. Mm. And so each year they get a memory book, and if they come for 6 years, they've got a mountain of memories that they can reflect upon.
Yeah,
that's another thing. You know, you're asking roles. We have a photographer. Yeah. We have a media person who just sits and works and manages all the pictures and makes posters and flyers and banners for us, and you know, has to make replacement name tags because we all have to wear a name tag, and kids, you know, will lose their name tag. So, you know, we have these dedicated people that volunteer with us year after year. And some new ones that come along for photography and just have a skill and ability to be willing to go and capture the moments so the kids have something to take home and remember.
I mean, we could go on talking for a while. Like me and Will, last time we got together, we were just talking and just different memories and all that. But let's move to if someone wants to be involved, someone wants to say, hey, I'd be interested in getting involved in this. You know, what are some ways they can connect with you guys and get involved if they wanted to volunteer, if they wanted to? I mean, is there a need for people for financial support? You mentioned earlier about fundraisers. Is there other ways of that? So let's talk about that before we end the podcast.
So one thing that everyone listening to this podcast can do and be involved in this camp is prayer. Mm-hmm. We covet the prayers of the saints.
Yeah.
The prayer is such an effective tool. We've seen it time and time again. Between David and I, our many years at camp, we know it is effective. Mm. We've seen the results of it, and we covet the prayers of the saints. So please pray for camp.
Yes.
And if you go to our websites that I mentioned earlier, we have sometimes prayer requests on there specific for camp, different things. So that's a great way to partner with us and let us know that you're praying for us. That's such more encouragement. The next way many people can really be involved with camp is financially. So the camp is entirely free to the kids. So no foster parent, no DCF, no one pays for it. The kids come entirely free, and everything that they get is free. nothing they have to pay for. The only thing they bring in is clothes, and sometimes we still provide those. So financial support is a wonderful thing, because also our volunteers will all come free. It is completely fundraised by a private sector, the churches, the community, people that have a heart to want to donate to it. And the smallest amount can happen. We have different activities for fundraising throughout the year, like a golf tournament we have in the spring, which raises a large amount of money, along with a silent auction in the same day. We're doing a cotton candy sale at Bethany's Family Fall Festival to raise some funds. And everyone that goes and works these events are all volunteering as well. Yeah. So that's one thing to do. The next way you can partner with us is a very crucial one, as exactly that, volunteering. We are always looking for recruits that are willing to share the love of God with these kids. It's not easy. I won't ever say it's an easy thing, but it is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my entire life. My nursing career, everything I've ever done before it, Royal Family Kids Camp is amazing. And being able to care for the King's kids is a privilege that any saint can take up. I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah. It's something that and I intend to do it until the day I the Lord takes me home. Yeah. I'd like to be part of ministering to the kids at Royal Family Kids Camp. It's just,
we also have some other shorter term commitments. If you can't commit, some people have a challenge committing a full 6 days, you know, Sunday to Friday for a whole week for camp. But we have a couple different activities through the week. On Wednesday, we do everybody's birthday party, and we get to celebrate all the kids, because some don't have any families that celebrate. Mm-hmm. They don't have any memories from a birthday party. So everybody's birthday party, but we have a team of people from the church that comes up and helps put on a whole carnival theme and decoration and make it a big celebration day. So we have people that come just for that one day to help with the birthday party. We have some ladies that get together, different ones, different years, to help out for the tea party that we put on as a big special moment for the girls, for all the women in camp. So there's a team of ladies that comes up to the camp to put together a very special activity and presentation, you know, decorate the whole space for the tea party. Wow. Then we also have people that help out on, like, Monday back at the church when the kids are arriving and first checking in. Most of us that are our full week volunteers are up at the camp. But we have some other people that volunteer just for that day to help the kids get assimilated, to check them in at the church before they leave on the bus to go for their big experience. So
there's a lot more than just hands-on with the kids. There's a lot of background. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes volunteers that get involved with it, too. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I was just thinking, like, what if, you know, if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, I'd like to have you come speak to our church, or, like, you know, is that something you guys do sometimes?
We do. We have actually a group of us from the leadership team have gone to different churches and spoken. We've tabled in the lobby, so we'll set up a table of information and people will come up and talk to us. But we welcome the opportunity to be able to speak to a church, a missions board, individuals about camp. It's our favorite subject.
We always get people that come alive and say, wow, I've never heard of this opportunity. You know, I'd love to be involved in some way, either to support the ministry or to take a week themselves and come and see it and experience. Yeah.
So as we come to a close of this podcast, if someone's wanting to get involved or contact you, let's give them the same contact information you gave before, the email and the Facebook page.
So you can email us at westernmassrfkc@gmail.com. That's an email address you can contact us. We also talk to people through Facebook Messenger. If you go to Royal Family Kids of Western Mass, that's our Facebook page. Please like it and check out, peruse the pictures. But you can also contact us there to be able to get more information. And at any point, you can also contact Bethany. Go to their website at bethany-ag.com. org. Thank you, dude. Yeah. You can find the phone number of the church on that website or any email information there as well.
Thank you guys for sharing. It was really good to hear about this.
Yeah, thank you very much.
God bless you guys.
God bless.